Hello!
Hello!
If you'd like to listen to Running Commentary ad-free and get access to other exciting advantages...
And support us in our dotage.
Yes, subscribe to us on Acast Plus now.
Subscribe to the Plus and get the good stuff from us.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We set off into a really rainy day.
Yes.
Which both of us have actually already run today.
We've already experienced the running because... Yes.
Am I an idiot, or is it this time of year, the time of year when it gets very easy to radically misjudge what you wear for a run? Because I set off this morning, and I thought, first when I set off, I thought, my legs were so cold. I basically mothballed my leggings for the winter.
Yeah.
I could have done with them.
You could have done with them this
morning. I'm in one layer, and I haven't got a cap for rain. I haven't got a rainproof jacket.
Yeah, it's really...
It's started raining.
Yeah, and we've sort of been spoilt the last few days with some quite nice weather, haven't we?
Yeah,
as well,
mild, so relatively yeah, rainproof, kind of heavy rain in the night.
But
sometimes.
Yeah, so it's definitely come forth.
Anyway, you seem to be better equipped, but then you've been going further. How far have you run already today?
I've run about 8 miles. So I'm just...
Few head, one shot.
Yeah, Monday.
One chance. And. Yeah. So tired, he went out early with me. He went round and round. Classic Eminem impression.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do the Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Long run thing.
Yeah, very good. Big blind, small blind, or whatever way around it.
But it's... Yeah, and the first one was fine. I'm going to find this a bit tiring. Though,
so basically, did you do what we're about to do?
Yeah, well, not quite. I just ran out to Hampstead Heath and then ran about 15 minutes into it and then turned round and ran back. So I got an hour and a half, but we'll probably go right the way around.
So we're going to go from Paul's house,
yeah,
up the park and walk, as is often the case, but then we're going to cut across to the heath, go round and come back.
Cut across.
Meanwhile, I ran up here.
Yeah.
Just the usual my house to yours, which is... 2.6.
Yeah.
But it's just miles here and there, isn't it?
Of course, it's all picking
good.
It up, isn't
it's
it?
All
yeah.
Good. Last week, being half term.
Yeah.
Funny, a week last week, I've got so much to tell you. But just real highs and lows. And one of them was that feeling that I'd really dumped all my training and exercises.
Yeah.
And then kind of looking around and thinking, I actually didn't. You know, I got to the end of the week and thought, well, I haven't really run this week.
And I'd run. Then you realise you had.
Instead of running 30 miles, I'd literally run 29 and a half.
Yeah. That's decent mileage.
It's not different, is it?
No.
It's the same.
That's decent, yeah.
And then that was on Saturday, and I realised just this weekend that my app I use, it's RunKeeper, by the way.
Yeah.
Counts from Sunday night.
Right.
Well, I can't get my head around that. I don't normally run on Sunday, so you wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
But anyway, by the end of RunKeeper's week, I'd run 35 miles.
Yeah, that's how you can get the big. That's how you can get the big miles in, isn't it?
Yeah, psychologically, it left me running out today thinking I need a day off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me your week's running to here.
Well, I had quite a. Because I went running with you last Monday.
Yes.
Ended up doing about 2 hours 45 running. I'm going by times.
You were feeling a bit tight in the old chest as well.
Yeah, that's still. They're a little bit, not so much though.
Yeah.
I mean, last Monday I was a little bit hungover, so made it harder. And this Monday I'm really hungover, so there's some sort of progression going on.
Yeah, run hanging.
Yeah.
Great. We hear the clank but of wine bottles in the desert in your future.
I did 2 hours 45 Monday, 2 hours 45 Tuesday, day off, and then went to up north and did that lovely loop I do in Osmotherley, which is 9 miles.
Yep.
And I did that on consecutive...
9 miles when you don't get lost.
Yeah.
Too soon.
I did it on consecutive days.
Yeah.
And I felt really strong.
That's good. That's a lovely bit of training.
I'm just sort of starting to feel the strength of my long running, because that's about 48... That's about a 48-mile week.
Yeah, yeah. But also just the psychology of going out, running long on trail... under the big skies, as it were.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And feeling good about it. I mean, when you're ultra training, that just really counts, doesn't
it? I'm just getting little sort of, not really long back-to-back runs, but sort of fairly long back-to-back runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Running slow, but I'm feeling the strength of all the slow running.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just starting to feel stronger, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing it. I've been doing it for a couple of months, and I had a bit of a break off for COVID, but I've still... Yeah, just loads of long, slow running. Just
any days off last
feels
week?
Quite good. Oh, yeah, I had a few days off.
Yeah.
I only ran for 4 days, but I ran...
Four long ones.
Yeah, I ran for... I'm sort of considering doing that as a as the training for the next...
Two doubles, so you've got
5, 6
on.
Weeks again. So, like, two really long runs back-to-back and two fairly long runs back-to-back. And then a couple of days off, you know.
Yeah.
It might work, I don't know.
It feels really logical to me. You know, literally, I can... Just in terms of trusting your instincts.
Yeah.
I ran up here today thinking about what I was just joking about, how doing scraps and oddments of running can leave you feeling tired and not recovering properly whilst not getting the mileage up. I always like to have a slightly a more dynamic graph on the week's running.
Yeah.
Like you say, a couple of days long running, a couple of days off.
Yeah.
I think it feels better that way.
But also, I mean, like, you know, the week of the Marathon de Sable will be... running long every day, but
yes,
if you get used to your training week being 4 really long runs, that's not bad training for
no,
it,
that's
is it?
Right. And also within that, every time you do 2 consecutive days, you're training for running the next day.
Yes, there's that sort of, so it's trying to get the sort of long work in and the back-to-back stuff, but feel fresh for it when it happens. So we'll see how long it lasts.
How many weeks out are we now from the NDS?
It's about...
He doesn't know this.
It's about 7 weeks. Yeah. So I reckon I've got about 5 weeks proper training. I'll have a 2-week taper. Yeah. And so just got to stay fit. I booked my flights. I'm going to start... I need to start... I've been running with like... I've been taking like electrolyte stuff and all that kind of stuff, which is nice.
Pills? Do you
so
take
I've been working
like
at that.
40 minutes or anything like that?
I haven't, no. What, salt stuff?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I need to sort that out.
Because ideally, of course, like you're saying about your taper, it's not just a question of trying it out. It's like learning your lines for a play.
Yeah.
You wanted to be doing it well enough that you would feel weird if you weren't doing it.
Yes, yeah.
Because...
I've got to start running with a rucksack in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Do you want to wear this one? Just
that's going to be fun, yeah.
Just for sniffs and giggles?
Yeah. Start weighting it. That's going to be a laugh.
And have you got the list?
By which I mean, not.
Is there a list of stuff you have to take?
Oh, yeah, there's loads of stuff.
Have you gone backs and forwards, collated it all?
I've had
yourself a first aid kit?
I've been looking at blogs of what stuff that people got. I'm doing a gig with Gary Jackets on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Who's done loads of multi-stage ultras.
Yeah.
So I know everyone's different, but I'm going to pick his brains about it.
Yeah.
And
he always wears them, doesn't he? Gary Jackets.
Yeah. He insists. That's why they call him.
He's Dr. Susie
why they
Trousers.
Call, hence his name, Gary Jackets, yeah. That's his thing. He wears multiple jackets and just discards one every day.
Yeah. Leslie Pants also should check in with.
Yeah, Harry the Hat. That's all he wears. Very unorthodox approach.
Yeah, you messed that up because you accidentally went to see Jack the Hat McVitie.
Yeah.
And that got very tense. Although, no witnesses.
Yeah.
Impressive. That's right, guys. I segued into a craze-based comedy. It was quite obscure in context.
So how's your running been?
Well,
been going off.
It's been really nice. So we ran around on... that was Monday.
Yeah.
And then what have I done? Quite a lot. Me and Julia ran again. We were going to run, do our usual run, and we never did. So I can't remember where we did run. Must have gone somewhere and run back from there or something. I honestly can't remember. It all got lost in a mix. It was like a holiday, you know.
Right.
But
well, it was half term, wasn't it, last week?
That's right. So did a couple of did a run with her, another run with her, and then I went out and did a long run, testing my latest playlist, and that was really good.
How long did you run?
That was about 9 miles.
Right.
And then I went to, for the first time in a few weeks, went back to Highbury Fields Park on a Saturday.
Oh, yes.
And I think I was a little bit leery about going back because I feel, like I said, I put on about half a stone.
Right.
I haven't...
What, you've put that on since...
Since the beginning of the year.
Right.
I still haven't quite really worked out why, and it's a bit of a shock to the system because I've been the same weight for so long.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's that thing, it's all highs and lows. I feel...
You feel strong.
Strong and injured.
Yeah.
Big and fast.
Yeah.
And other people seem to be having that. I mean, amazing runs or a training run where they think, I can't finish this training run. Often in a couple of days, you know?
Yeah.
I think, I was thinking, coming to you today, that maybe spring is like a... It makes the needle really waggle. It's really good, really exciting. Lots of information and change coming in.
Yeah.
But it's harder to pin down.
Especially early spring. Is it spring? Is this spring?
Yes, exactly.
Are we springing?
Is this really happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always this time.
I can't believe this is spring. Yeah.
We have a day, you think, oh, good, we're there. And then another 2 days later, you're not.
Because February is normally the cruelest month, isn't it, weather-wise?
Yeah.
It's been very mild, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens next, whether there's another cold blast or what, but you know, so
there's word of one, isn't there? Yeah.
Actually felt great at parkrun,
right?
And I'd let myself get a bit nervous about doing a flattish, fast one after all the hills of recent weeks, but you know, I just felt strong,
yeah.
Went round, it was a very busy, very muddy start, so it took a while to shake down, but I think as long as I don't get really stressed.
Yeah.
Or stuck, that's quite good for me. And then just really enjoyed it. You know, sometimes we talk about the brain being a little bit too present.
Right.
So you're thinking too much about it and also getting out of the moment, thinking, when I do that lap, I'll be on the fourth lap. It's like, yeah, but you're on the second lap now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just whizzing. But on the other hand, if you're too tired or too hungover, yeah, your brain quiets down, but your body's no good. Anyway, I felt right in the mix. I felt kind of chill and fresh, but not too obsessed or...
There, but not stressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, just steady. And it felt... I felt that wonder of running for that long where when you're doing it, it's quite long, but when you're coming to finish, you're like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real kind of balancing act. Anyway, it was a pretty good
time.
You
pushed it quite a bit, did you?
I just felt like I was still there. You know, like when I did the last lap, I wasn't hanging on.
Right.
I was making the same good pace I had been, really. And at one point, I did get choked up, stuck behind some people in their narrowest bit. Again, I felt good. I thought, good.
Get out of my way! This is a social event, not a race run. What are we here for?
I didn't say that, Paul. I feel like you're going to last week's.
Genders to the left of me. Biological reality of sex to the right. Thank you.
Clowns to the left of me.
Yeah.
Jokers to the right. So I mean, I've still got no fast finish at all, really.
Right.
I envisioned a green man where I have to cross the road, and or Tom Cruise or whatever. And nothing much changed.
Yeah.
But really nice. And having done.
Did you beat your mate?
Yeah.
Right.
I think that he ran well. He was there.
Right.
But I think, you know, I'm naturally a little bit faster than him, so as long as I'm fit,
he's found
it shouldn't be an issue.
Oh, oh.
He is good on him. He ran well. He wasn't so far behind me.
Right.
He is the noisiest runner there. 500 people there.
And he's by far the noisiest.
You hear one of them come and go, oh. It's Harry. That's who it is. So, great to see you, Harry.
Yeah.
Sorry to call you out, but it's just a story. So I'd done, like I said, I did Ali Pally.
Right.
What was it? 22:14.
Yeah.
Did that really steep one in Bristol, where I think I was slightly overcompensating for Ali Pally because it was harder.
Yeah.
And I nearly broke myself on it, but it was about the same speed, 22:15.
Yeah.
And then back to Ivyfields, 21:30.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Sprang off those hills, you know.
So that's the hills, yeah.
And I looked at my thing and I did a 640-ish mile in there.
Yeah.
And that was in the middle, so in a way I'm thinking, if I can sort myself out, I felt steady. There should be, I know, is there a logic here? If I can run a 640 mile in the middle, surely I can run all three 640 miles.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's possible, isn't it?
Which would take me down to, what, 2040?
Yeah, about 2040.
Take me under a...
Take you under 21.
Take me back under 21 again. Anyway.
Yeah.
Which is the next step. Having said that, this week I am keeping my puck on total up, but I'll be seeing my friend Lisa Arscott for a... interview.
Oh, nice.
Chat at,
okay.
Edgbaston Parkrun on Saturday.
Nice.
And so that'd be nice. So anyone who saw me at the National Running Show last year was me and her on the Bad Boy Running Stand talking about running an ultra for the first time. And she's an ambassador for the Threshold Ultra 50-50 thing.
Oh, nice.
So, and as I told
that'd
you
be
before,
good fun.
And
yeah.
Edgbaston is lovely.
Yeah.
Twice around the reservoir. So that'll be cool.
So the rain sort of pulled away. It is quite a nice day again, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a nice... It's a funny bit. Enough, it is still raining, but
yeah.
But very, very lightly. Yeah. Like you say, it's got really bright and there's blue in the sky. We're currently running down the middle of a lovely residential road and there's quite a lot of blossom on that tree up there.
Lovely
it's a bit
blossom.
Gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
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 Excuse me, you're coming down the road. Gorgeous. So yeah, it was a good parkrun day. The other thing about it was, I felt it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of runners. The result took a long time to come in, and I just knew it. I was like, it's going to be. I'm happy with it. You know, it did match about the numbers.
Yeah.
But I knew it before they came in. You know.
And how were the gigs?
Did you gig? I did a gig on Friday, and I tell you what, it was awful.
Right.
It was really, really bad. Really terrible gig.
What, on Friday?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because?
Well, it was a bit of a thankless situation. It was a big sort of function room in a hotel.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
was it a corporate thing then?
No.
Right.
It had elements of that.
Right.
So it was, you know, you could have had hundreds of people in there sitting around big tables.
Right.
It was actually about 30 or so people.
Right, okay.
Sitting around four big tables.
Oh, dear.
In a room much bigger than that.
Okay.
And then...
there we go.
The lights... They had some lights.
Yeah.
But they didn't really reach the stage. And,
right.
So the lighting for the stage was just the lights in the room at that end of the room, you know?
Oh, God.
And...
oh, dear. When will promoters get it?
The compere... Did a good job, got them very nice, very friendly, and did some jokes that they liked, but constantly, very gently going to them to talk to them and their lives.
Yeah.
And
they never got it.
They were shy and worried about being picked on, which wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
They didn't get that if they didn't just answer the questions... Then the gig just died.
There's
do you know what I mean?
Going
just,
on, yeah.
There was no very hard to get momentum going.
Right.
But they're all right. The first act was on. She did really well. They liked her.
Yeah.
I thought going into the second section that the
that it would get better.
No, that it looked bad.
All right.
That there was quite a lot of trouble getting everyone to be in the room for the gig.
Right.
Despite the fact there was only 30 of them and they had a big interval.
Right.
And indeed an hour. Eating a meal and going to and from the bar before the show.
Right, okay.
They still couldn't sit down for the whole bit.
Right.
So the comp is waiting for... And of course, every two people in the audience is like...
It's big.
A percentage.
It's a big percentage of it, yeah.
So he was waiting for these people to come back in and they...
Yeah.
They did that classic worrying thing of... It's because they're coming in and out has become a little bit... like that's the story, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So they came in...
So there's a general... atmosphere of we don't really care about the gig
being quite distracted
that's right.
I mean there was a couple and they came in really late, she's on her phone kind of chatting and then he went out again a couple of minutes later like before I was on anyway Compare brings me on.
Yeah.
I did the first bit. It's done all right. It's just trying to get it going, you know?
Yeah.
But she was properly talking on the phone and right in front of me.
Oh, dear.
So I called her out for that.
Oh, dear.
But not in an angry way.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did my first musical bit. And it was... the sound guy was at the left of the stage.
Yeah.
And he was better lit than me.
Right.
And the sound wasn't great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it was probably fine. But he was kind of fiddling with it. And it was just so distracting.
Of course.
It felt more like him and the sound of my joke was more interesting than me and my joke.
What, so it was like a sound check during the gig sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I'd also said, oh, it's going to be a bit weird me doing... you know, in a comedy way that everyone could relax about. I was saying it's like an advanced dinner party, but I'm going to be doing, you know, basically doing all my openers for that situation, which are all good and try and test them work, but all of them sprinkled through with being killed by shenanigans, bad sound, chatting, and of course, you know, realistically, this is killing me.
Of course,
all of those are moments to prove to everyone that I'm on it and I'm a man and they can just relax. And each one of them...
Each one's getting kiboshed.
And they're going going down and I've spent it. Anyway, let's cover down the front. They're killing the gig. I'm trying to explain that to them without getting really leery because that's going to scare everyone else. It's so scared. And they're on side, but it's quiet like a bunch of owls.
And then
the family behind... Well, it's a bloke, really, but loads of people went with. Bloke behind this couple I was giving a hard time suddenly decided that he despised me.
Right, nice.
I've still only been on about 2.5 minutes now
and
not really got to the end of a joke.
Mate.
And this guy stood up and he said, well, I don't want to swear, so he said, you're great. But he didn't say great.
Right, okay, cool.
So I'm going, I said, you're great.
Yeah.
I said, okay. He said, you're great. I said, you made your point. He said, all right, well, just go then. That's okay. He's like, and he's just going really slow. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
God, help
really scaring everyone. I mean, he was so angry.
God, help us.
I did a good, put down.
Yeah.
Which got a big laugh, big round of applause.
Right.
And then that made him really cross.
Yeah.
So couldn't take any momentum off it because he said, I'm staying now.
Oh, God.
And then his wife realised she had to go. She got up and went too.
Right.
I noted that without criticism.
Oh, dear.
He heard criticism.
Right.
Said, right, I'm going to fight you now. I'm going to throw things at you. I was like, just go.
Oh,
I could
God.
Still maybe save this gig.
People just don't know what we do they?
No, that's
how
right.
tricky it can get.
No. I mean, that was fundamental to this gig.
Yeah.
Was that... I wanted to say to them, listen, this gig is A, odd, B, difficult and fragile.
Yeah.
But none of them had any concept of any
what
other gig
a, what
any
a
other
gig
time.
Is, yeah.
There is only this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's dog is just thinking about leaving the woods.
Why do they... Just leave your dog just by the road. What is she doing?
It's going to go.
What is she doing?
No, go back. There you go.
Just get some...
We have a commanding tone from me. I haven't got one, mate. I haven't got one. Check me out.
These woods are just full of people who just cannot control their dogs. And I'm like that myself when I'm in the woods, but I'd never let them near the road.
Yeah.
That is dangerous, bro.
Look, you're saying... Talking about the Battle of Spring... We just stepped into Highgate Wood. There's what sounds to me like maybe a great tick. Could be a robin. Warning. Hey. Going diddly diddly dee
yeah,
in the
lovely.
Top of the tree. And the sun's just come through.
Beautiful.
It's doing gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, the nicest moment for me in this gig.
Yeah.
And remember, I won't do the whole thing in real time. Or slower than real time, like an Ian McEwan novel. But
so
we're 5 minutes in.
You're 5 minutes in.
5 minutes into a half
You've had
hour
abuse.
Set.
Some bloke's threatening to throw things at you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the third, it was really funny because he went and then his wife went. The woman running the gig was good. She kept coming in and backing me up and saying, actually, if you could turn your phone off, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, like I say, there was no gig to sustain that.
Yeah.
So I could press on while everyone was worrying about the sound man and the woman at the gig, but not the audience wouldn't come with me.
Because
I'd just be talking to myself.
Because we're not really... You're not in a gig situation, are you?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
There's just brightly lit, just a
there's
big
no
room.
Structured. There's no structure to it.
So, yeah. The guy went, his wife went, and then the third member of their party went.
Yeah.
She just suddenly realised
she's on
that
her
they
own.
Weren't going. And she stood up and she properly memoed just to me. She went, sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a great little sorry.
Oh, well, that's nice.
That was
that is nice.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
And then after that, the room was just full of doubt.
Yeah.
And fair play, I was listening to the settlement for being distracting, but my stuff didn't work. I couldn't make it all work.
Yeah.
And then when it did work...
What, you mean physically, technically work?
Yeah, there was like loads of sound issues. I'm
right.
Like, great, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And I was trying to crack on. I didn't do anything long form or challenge, just all short jokes.
Yeah.
Little songs that come to gaggy ends that always work.
Yeah.
And it's just so little trust. They'd be like, yeah, what's next? I'm like,
this
is it, guys.
Yeah.
This is the stuff.
Yeah.
So in the end... Did a big bit, realised that wasn't going to work for technical reasons,
right.
Abandoned it. You know, so tough. In the narrative,
tough
I
times.
Had a terrible audience member, and at the end everyone was like, oh, we liked you, you were great, so sorry about that, that was really rude. But in real terms, if we're completely honest, I couldn't make them laugh.
Yeah. Just about.
Everything was... And it's the kind of thing, you know, it was...
It compounds itself, doesn't it?
That's right. And
it's
it was
doubt.
Also,
it's about doubt.
And it was in a big, airless... people-less room in the middle of nowhere, so I can just
so people
write
are,
it off. It never happened.
But
you
people
know
are already experiencing doubt before the gigs start.
Oh, yeah.
Because why are we here?
Yeah.
No one else is in this big room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does this not look like it's meant to on the telly?
Yeah.
At all.
And, and I say the compere was a lovely fella.
Right.
Older guy. We know. He gave me a lift to the station afterwards.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking... I can just see that being, just because of where we're at in terms of doing gigs and being on the road and stuff, that might be our last gig together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a happy thought, Paul.
No.
Because when it comes down to it, you were saying the other day about the nature of the circuit and taking these gigs, you know, I was going to say ego aside, but now I suppose the ego is involved. But we're used to and we're trained up for... to be well received in big comedy clubs full of people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've got the chops to fight my way out of that hole.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because I had contrasting it. I had some nice gigs up north. I did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday up north, Harrogate and Leeds. And the last one in Leeds was the lighting wasn't very good, but it was a low ceiling.
What room were you in?
It was a British Legion in South Milford.
Right.
Just a really working...
What year were you in?
Yeah, 1954. It was a really working class northern crowd.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I did 40 minutes. I loved it.
Yeah.
I'd love to do more of those gigs.
Yeah.
But it's that sort of combination of traditional up for anything, but they don't want you to swear much or talk about sex.
Yeah,
it's just be funny. And we really want to laugh, you know.
It was just
lovely. It was really nice. And then...
So no one said, you're great!
No one stood up and threatened me with violence. Which is always a win, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, you can imagine my emotional response was, fine.
Yeah.
Go on then, whatever.
Please, if that would end the gig now.
Yeah, anything to get through the situation.
Cheers.
Thank you, cheers.
Yeah.
Tiny baby.
Would I still get paid if he punched me? We've all been there. But that's the irony, though, isn't it? We're in a job where potentially you could get attacked by an audience member, and because of that reason, you don't get paid. Do you know what I mean? Our status is so low. You know?
That's right.
But Saturday night I had two gigs in the Bishop Stortford area. One was in a place called Baldock.
Yeah.
And it was
that's the place where with the doctor, the GP with the receding hairline, isn't it?
Yes.
The Baldock.
Yeah.
Hello, come on in.
Yeah. But that was if only I'd opened with that in retrospect. So I was
I told you I was not on form.
I was on first.
Yeah.
And it was fine, but it was just a bit drab, not many in.
Yeah.
I felt a bit of like a sacrifice for the evening sort of thing.
Taking the bullet
for the show. Establishing the boundaries, etc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I went to Bishop Stortford. 200 people in a village hall.
Stansted Rumoni.
Yeah.
wordplay from Rob.
The act on before me struggled, which always helps.
Right, yeah.
And then I just stormed it. I absolutely stormed it. And it was just great.
It doesn't really, does it, if the act struggles? Because it's only because you're good, because that actually shakes confidence.
Yeah, it sort of, but you could feel the relief when they realised I could do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was one of those gigs
that
where...
That only works if you can do it.
Yeah, totally, totally.
We're just running past the posh houses of Highgate, by the way.
Whenever I run through this area, I always think, what decisions can I make in my life so that I can live here?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What can I possibly do to enable me to make our run to the Tamsin Heath a lot shorter? like this house here is just beautiful, isn't it?
Really nice.
Yeah, there's some really nice houses around here. But yeah, I think people don't really... probably 80% of our job is just eliminating doubt, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
right. Making people feel safe.
That's why, and you know, that things like whether it looks like a gig affects how people feel about the gig.
Yes.
And also how you realise very quickly when you become a professional comedian that basically playing a big comedy club full of people is easier than playing a room above a pub with 25 people, half of which
absolutely.
Are the other comedians.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah.
That's how you get up, you've got to get angry.
Yeah.
You've got to drive. It's an angry, angry driver.
Yeah.
Letting a lady pulling over slowly. I need to get through here to get to this no-through road mid-morning.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm desperate to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Beep. You're great.
So the Bishop Stortford gig was one of those gigs where they spontaneously applauded about 10 minutes in. For no reason other than the fact that they're really enjoying it. Because I'm not very good at doing bits that prompt applause at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's something about the rhythm, the way I work. I don't know. I don't tend to get
it. It kind of rolls on. You get your
I get rolling laugh and keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
But they just all spontaneously wanted to show it halfway, which is really nice. But it also makes you think, I could still mess this up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was fine. We often talk about that because we're comparing comedy gigs and lessons and saying, you know, massive majority, you're kind of there. People want to have a good time.
Yeah.
You're showing them a good time.
I'm running in the middle of the road.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Then there's two other things that can happen.
Fine.
One, and we've gone to both of these extremes in this conversation. One is, everyone likes you so much, and it's going so well, that instead of, there's like a subtle gear change in the comedian's head, your head in Bishop Stortford, where you think, okay, now I'm a plate spinner.
Yeah, yeah.
All
yeah.
I've got to do is keep this going.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Just like doing keepy ups or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is a different energy. It's eminently doable.
They believe in me, yeah.
But once you recognise it, you think, I could mess this up. And
then
at the other end of things, what I knew at my gig was, you guys are all looking at me, happy hours, willing me to make this good again.
Yeah.
And the way to make this good again is for me to go. I'm done.
Yeah.
You need someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You need a different gig, actually, but that's
a whole other
story. You know, because you're just willing it. It's the same look I used to get off my mum and dad when I started out, and they'd come to my gigs.
Yeah.
And you know, these gigs are going great. I can always find my mum and dad's faces looking at me as if they'd say,
attention.
Yes, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Keep it going.
Yeah. They need to. The good and the bad thing about audiences is they don't care about you.
Yeah. Yeah, totes. They just want to
chill.
They just want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just radically different experiences.
Yeah.
And then Sunday.
Oh, sorry, just one other thing.
Go on then.
On the night, I was battling my way through that Cheese Dream Comedian's Nightmare gig.
Yeah.
I know that Stuart and Susie Strath are watching my special.
All right.
On telly and enjoying it.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
There you go.
That's good.
That's it, we'll take that. We'll keep that
we'll take
under
that.
Control.
Take that
Put
to
that
the
one
bank.
In the...
Yeah.
But anyway, then on Sunday...
Well, then on Sunday, I just decided to rest. I was still tired. Oh, we had Rudy's party on Friday.
Oh, yeah, as discussed. Yeah, so what happened then?
Well, it actually wasn't that bad. I drove back. I got back about half one.
So right, before it started?
Well, it started probably about half 12. Rachel was policing the party from a... how can I put this? If you saw her, you wouldn't have thought she was policing it.
Yeah.
It was... her position was... Is the word supine? Is it supine? Prostrate? Yeah. Asleep. She was asleep. So she was a sleeping policeman. And there was kids outside.
No cars driving over.
Yeah.
Even at low speeds. Yeah. Incredibly dangerous.
There was kids outside. All the stuff that's not meant to be happening was happening.
Yeah.
So I had to be the guy who said, you've got to come in, etc. And they were really nice kids. Really sort of chilled kids, but they're just late.
Yeah.
So they were leaving at like, they were leaving till about 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But they were quiet when they left.
That's good.
Which is a huge difference.
That's a big one.
And yeah. Overall, and also miraculously, went down in the morning, they'd all tidied up.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which was just, I was really pleased because
Rudy's going up a bit.
Yeah, everyone's kicking off on the things, isn't it? Rudy had a great party. Rudy was really happy.
Yeah.
And it was just, he's 21. It was just nice. It was just nice, yeah.
And how do you feel with your youngest being 21? Does it feel like a thing?
I suppose I haven't really thought about it, but it is a bit of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still... The big thing last week for me was Rachel came back on Wednesday.
Yeah, great.
Because she'd been away for a week. So everything's just loads better.
Yeah. No, I had Judy at home all last week because it was half term.
Yeah.
And we did a... You know, we just did loads of lovely stuff. We went to... well, actually, Tuesday was a big day because the lovely stuff we did was actively to balance up. We had a meeting about our wills.
Oh! Yeah.
Which is, you know...
We haven't done that yet. We need to do that. Yeah.
Well, we had a meeting with our financial advisor, so that I used that to blackmail us into having a meeting about our wills.
Right.
So we could go and say to our financial advisor, yeah, we sorted our wills, as if it hadn't been half an hour before.
Did he reference your death or near-death experience at the gig? Was that... Did that prompt it, did it?
Are we saying death?
I'm not saying death.
I mean,
I'm not saying death.
I don't think I ever said that.
I'm not saying death.
Who said anything about loser?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, but I don't.
Which way do you want to go?
I want to go that way, but I want to take a picture. Look at that. Look at the dewdrops.
Do you know what? Why don't we go the other way just to break it up a bit?
It's too muddy here.
Would that be crazy?
Yeah. I don't want to fall over.
All right.
It's
okay,
a muddy
cool.
Downhill.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I nearly went on this very heath yesterday.
Yeah.
Look at the rainy roofs of London. It's completely grey and a bit hazy, but some of the roofs tip towards us like little white, silvery flashes. It's very... Always there, but always different, right, this view? Like all good views, really. Look at that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
We can go down there if that's you want. I'm
No, it's
scared.
Fine. It is... that's going to be a nightmare either way we do it.
It rained a lot. It rained a
lot
the weekend.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's going to be wet. It's going to be a wet one. It's going to be like a beach bag up there. Like.
I was here yesterday. Me and Julia came to the heath to have a swim before the end of things.
Right.
It took us a while to get here because it's a weekend and stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing that's going on with Paul is he always avoids the hard surfaces.
Yeah.
It's worrying that you worry about that.
Why?
Because your legs should be strong enough to take them.
No, but I haven't been injured for months and months.
Yeah, okay. So it's a habit. You're not feeling... It's not feeling tight or uncomfortable.
No. It's just something that I do. I mean, it's just like I'm running 50, 60 miles a week. So anything I can do to...
Yeah, minimise.
Minimise.
Potential for... That's okay. That's all I want to hear.
You were here yesterday.
We got here quite late morning, sort of 11, 12. There were so many people running... In big groups, and also everyone's on the paths because it was so muddy. Although they'd obviously been through the woods like we were because everyone was filthy with mud. It was so busy. But I had this, the weird thing I had was I see groups of runners.
Yeah.
I'm a bit bothered by it. I've got like imposter syndrome. I'm like, oh, proper runners.
Right.
All these proper runners. Because I've never been in a group of runners, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy.
What I'm saying is I'm a weirdo here.
No, but that's... Do you know what? I might have to use the facilities. Sorry.
Fair enough.
But that's That's crazy that you don't feel like a proper runner.
I know, but
because you've got way more experience than most runners I know.
Goes, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
It's all to do with when it starts, really. I don't think I could do... I've done enough running. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's that I was too long not a runner beforehand.
Yeah. And you didn't come up through the clubs.
No.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing, isn't
no,
it?
No, I didn't even have a good relationship with any kind of sport in
yes.
school.
Yes, yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is this going to be one of the longest runs you've had for a while? Because we're going to do about 10.
Yeah.
And then you'll have done two.
It'll go up to 15, 16. I did 16
right.
the other day.
Yeah.
So I did that 16 Wednesday week ago.
Right.
And after that, I felt, strangely enough, my right wrist
right.
felt a bit weedy. Just
right.
a bit, nothing particularly bad. Just literally when I was doing yoga, like putting on my weight on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels a bit shonked. Anyway, Tuesday, we went out, Will's financial advice.
Yeah.
Cocktails.
Right.
Art. Went
yeah.
to see the drawings, my impressionists at the RA.
Nice.
Excellent. Really lovely.
Nice.
And then we're out. My daughter was off on a date. Well, what should we do next?
The planets have aligned.
Yeah. And then we went to the cinema, and we had that moment, like, oh, we missed it. It started a quarter of an hour ago, and we asked, they said, oh, no, the film starts in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we went to Curzon, Chelsea Avenue.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Went to see American Fiction. Have you seen it?
No, but I really want to.
Oh, you really should.
I will.
Because I know
you will watch it. Sounds funny.
You've seen the holdovers now.
Sounds funny, yeah.
Yeah, but what I found about American Fiction that I hadn't realised was going to happen is a completely different story and everything. But it really kind of shares an energy with the holdovers.
Right.
It's really lovely and kind of quite gentle and ultimately just about people.
Yeah.
You know? And great acting, beautiful writing, just excellent. Really enjoyed it a lot.
I'm going to say it. I wonder whether we're experiencing a move towards a new empathy. Can we go up there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. A new empathy.
No, we're not. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't feel it. I don't understand.
Like, people are going pretty crazy for the holdovers. Although Oppenheimer did very well last night.
Here's a note that happens every time we come here. The little ones we've seen huddling in the rain. They're in the woods. It wasn't raining. They're out of the woods. Look.
Look at them.
They're going to see the big trees.
They're little people.
Little people.
They're really little people.
Halflings, they would be. Children to your eyes.
Yeah.
And, I think you're absolutely right. I want to make it absolutely clear that was just a sarcastic joke.
But yeah, I really
it's a good
fancy.
Sign, isn't it?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Well, American
Fiction. It feels like there's a couple of films have been made that make the expression, they don't make films like that anymore, a bit redundant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they do, and here they are.
Yeah, and maybe it's a bounce back as well.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people talk about quite reasonably that mid-level storytelling has sort of slipped out of cinema. You know, they don't.
Yeah.
It's too much of a risk for the film company to make films like Moonstruck and My Cousin Vinny anymore.
Yeah.
So that kind of level of storytelling and acting went to TV.
Yes.
And it's sort of coming round now.
Yeah.
But maybe also, it's kind of the idea of it being an Oscars-y heritage project is, it's like a Trojan horse, do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen it. And I bet if I saw it, I'd love it. But you look at that Maestro.
Right.
It very much looks like an Oscar film.
Yeah.
And you think...
I haven't seen it.
It's like... Well, of course that film exists and it is like it's like. But it feels like films like The Holdovers in American Fiction are sneaking in under the under that banner. You know?
Yeah, it does feel like that, yeah.
But here's the fun thing that happened in between the art gallery and the cinema.
Yeah.
This slightly aching wrist.
Yeah.
Between me and my wife, we managed to put together a hand-holding injury and really injured it quite badly.
Oh, nice. you. I thought you were going to say it clicked back into place then, but
you kind
of doubled down on it and made it worse.
Walking down the street, holding hands.
Nice.
And I took an incredibly minor, dodgy step.
Yeah.
And we clenched hands.
Right.
And my wrist went...
Ah!
And I went... And honestly, I haven't been able to put weight on that hand since.
Right.
I've got myself a wrist guard and stuff
right.
like this. And
are you wearing it now? Are you?
No, because right. I don't. It's just when I'm doing stuff and picking things up and moving them around.
Right.
I would have worn it, but if you weren't running so far, but just thought it would chafe. But
so what do you think's wrong? What's happened? Do you think?
Don't really know.
Right.
It's it was definitely my wrist that went in the first place.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I could feel it right down through my little finger, and now it's more. I can't. Wield any power with my thumb. So basically, it's around the side, some kind of rotator issue.
Right.
Because down the middle, like through my arm into my three fingers,
yeah,
no problem at all. But the sides are sensitive and weird. And actually, I don't know, it was, I thought it was getting better and it was all fine.
Yeah.
And then when I went off to do that gig on Friday, travelling and carrying all my stuff and getting on enough public transport and stuff.
Yeah.
It was very painful indeed.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I've got to start to read it. That's why the protector's good, really, just to take the pressure off it, because I can do, you know, I can do all my press-ups, no problem at all.
Right.
But then I'll go to put my hand in my pocket and go, ah! So, you know, it's a bit of a...
tough matter off duty.
But I think it's healing quite fast.
Right.
It was just such a shame because it was genuinely a romantic injury. We're off to the cinema, darling. I hope you're okay. Let's hold hands and walk over. Ow! There we go.
So we got a...
Lovely week with the hawk. I'm going to miss her.
Yes.
I've got to get my blooming life in order. I'm very much aware that I was all sorted at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But I was really looking forward to our festival of anniversaries and her birthday at the end of January. And then really enjoyed this half term. And in that first half
that's
of February,
done now. Yeah.
I slipped off. That wasn't a good time for me, really. And I need to improve my life.
Get a bit focused.
Yeah, exactly.
Find some focus, yeah.
It's all ticking over, but you know.
I mean, you've got
a lot more than tick over.
The running side of it feels fairly sorted.
Yes.
You just want to do what you want, more creative goal sort of thing.
Yeah, and to be able to step up and do the onerous tasks.
Right.
Fill my time well.
Right.
You know.
How's the dinner midday snack fest going?
Well, it's been all right because there's other people been around. But,
right.
It's a new manifesto as of today.
Right.
My plan for that is I always make my wife and daughter's lunches when they're doing work in school. It should be noted at this stage that they're entirely capable and indeed quite keen to make their own lunches.
No, but that's great.
It's just my way to
contribute. It's great that you do that. You know. It's a nice, lovely contribution.
Well, the new plan is at that point I also make, or at the very least decide, on my lunch.
Right.
So by the time lunchtime gets around, when I get home today, what I'm eating
is pre-planned.
It's prescribed.
Yes.
And then hopefully, if I can add to that, not just opening Tupperware and packets and things, but actually, I don't know, like a plate.
Yes.
A knife. this kind of stuff.
Sit down. Hi, Rob, what have you done this morning? Oh, I've had a great morning. How about you? Oh, it's been great.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoying your dinner? Yeah, it's lovely.
I set up a shaving mirror. And that's the way to find my sanity in solitude. Yeah. It's a new empathy.
Morning, Rob. Morning.
With my blooming self.
Well, I mean, I read a tweet yesterday that said that Lent doesn't include Sundays.
Right. Well, that's not accurate.
I embrace that. I embrace it. It was from a guy I follow on Twitter who's he's quite a big Catholic, but I sensed, I don't get me wrong, I do sense he was looking for an excuse to have a drink of wine on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
I recognise that.
I embrace that wholeheartedly. That and Manchester United winning a tricky away fixture to Luton. What chance did I stand? And then one day on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which just felt lovely to watch with Rachel.
Yeah, good.
Who's back from a holiday, so...
Nice to see you. Well, same thing,
Julia. It became a two-bottle Sunday.
Julia would have been fine to carry on being abstemious in this half-term like we'd planned. And then last Sunday I was like, so this is the holidays?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And then... Whoop. And this is, I'm going to do full confession here. I've already confessed.
We want full confession.
Full confession is, I said to her, listen. It's not a...
Listen up.
I'm not jumping off the wagon, and I know that this is all me persuading you.
I was never on the wagon.
But we've got, it's the first day of the holidays.
Yeah.
You've got friends coming over on Thursday.
Yeah.
And we're going to the art gallery after the financial stuff on Tuesday. So let's just take 3 days.
Yeah.
They're each a day apart.
Yeah.
And so it will make the holiday a holiday, you know.
If you can't have a drink on the evening after you've made your will, when can you? Do you know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah. The excuses are great, aren't they?
Well,
Lent doesn't exist on a Sunday.
No, that, I mean,
your will.
That's not accurate.
Thank
that's
the Lord for wine.
The thing about
the Lord made wine to be drank.
The key thing with Lent not existing on a Sunday is how incredibly brand new that sounds.
Yeah.
If that was a thing,
I must say,
definitely have heard of it before.
It felt quite revolutionary.
Look at these.
Do you know what I'm like with revolution? Have to embrace it.
Yeah, you love it. Guy and Liz have scraped their names into these trees.
That's a funny tree, isn't it, Rob?
That one's bifurcated very early on.
Yeah, because it's kind of...
I was going to say they look like...
Tripped off.
The legs of some giant beast, but actually that one goes to two straight away. Can't get them, they're so massive.
Do you think one's Guy and one's Liz?
No, I think Guy and Liz are humans.
Right. They are incredible trees, aren't they?
They're incredible. They're pretty...
They're really good trees, yeah.
It's complicated with Lent and Ramadan is that they're actually, it's difficult in the modern age because they, you know, they're to help you get to the end of the winter when there isn't any stuff left anyway.
Yeah.
So if you live in a situation where it's all willpower, I'm not saying it was easy for people who were living through Lent and Ramadan in the days when they were conceived of. It's a different kind of challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Having the biscuits right there, but not eating them, can lead very quickly to things like, do you know what they say about Sundays?
Yeah. Well, I started well. I went to service on Ash Wednesday. I actually ended up reading the service.
Service when, sorry?
On Ash Wednesday.
Bless you.
Yeah.
He's sorry. Sorry, coming a mile off.
No bread, no booze, no sugar. No. And virtually, it's all fallen. It's virtually all fallen.
Well,
I got to Friday, but the bread thing's pretty tricky.
Yeah.
I've made concessions. I've started having wraps as opposed to bread sandwiches after a gig, which does feel a bit better.
It makes a difference.
It does make a bit of a difference.
I always find also, I mean, I don't eat after gigs, and that's
right.
Rules are good for that kind
See,
of
I thing. Don't eat before gigs.
But I also have, it is good to have any rule when you're out and about, because they just slow you down.
Yeah.
You know, if you can go into motorway services and they haven't got anything you're allowed, you know, there's always something.
Yeah.
But it means the difference between two pasties and a bag of nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts! Yes. Well, the confession bit, I never got there. I'm obviously shy of it. Three specific days off, right?
Yeah.
And that's allowed. It's an amendment. So,
right.
Same as the Sundays in Lent. It's really, I'm not cheating at all.
Yeah.
So then I just started drinking and carried on drinking till yesterday.
Nice.
That's not three specific days off, is it?
Bravo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be drinking tomorrow, you might as well run it through consecutive.
The thing to note is that, as ever, I've said it before and I'll say it again, and my friend Emily, who got in touch, is right about this.
Preach.
It's just so much easier to give it up completely than it is to dabble.
Yeah.
Not for everyone, I'm sure. I mean, not for my wife, to be fair. That's the thing.
Right.
I drag her down with me.
Yeah.
And then she'll say, right, we're not drinking. And I want to say to her, it's Friday, have a glass of wine, because you'll have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Not have another one, and then not drink for the rest of the weekend.
It's, yeah, it's, I was pretty drunk yesterday.
Yeah. Happy though, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. It was good fun. But it's, I'm feeling it now. Yeah. As you'd expect.
Yeah.
2 hours into a run.
Yes.
You know.
And the rest.
After a two-bottle Sunday,
that's,
you know.
Right. Well, I think...
But I'm not going to...
In a funny kind of way,
myself.
The little thing I've been saying... I want to sit down and put some food rules down. That planning the lunch is a really good one. But, and I'm not drinking. But the other thing that's important for me to note, and making it, you know, taking it into a kind of different place, is that I'm trying to lose some weight.
Right.
Not just trying to be sensible.
Yeah.
Not just trying to tick over. I seem to be...
You're consciously trying to lose
weight.
Some weight.
I've certainly put
right.
a fair amount on, having not done that for a long time. So... It needs action.
And that was just a natural byproduct of post-Christmas.
I don't know.
Into January, kind of.
Yeah, it was a combination. I put on the weight at a time when I stopped drinking and massively increased my exercise. But I would say that I probably also ate a lot.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, making myself hungry by not drinking. I don't know, just whatever.
You just put on weight.
Whatever it is, I've got to stop doing it. And also, like I say, going full circle back to the old park run, I felt really strong and really nippy, and like going back under 21 was within my power yesterday.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have to carry this extra, and extra's the key thing, I'm not saying, you know, this is where it gets uncomfortable, because you don't want anyone to, we're not saying that running is about weight loss. What I'm saying is I've put this weight on.
Yeah.
So it's definitely extra.
Yeah, running's not about...
If I take it off again, I'm going to feel... It's going to feel easier. Cause
yeah, yeah, running's not about weight loss at all. But it's just a truism that you tend to run better.
Yeah.
The less you weigh, you know.
Yeah.
Some people go to extremes with that. We don't, but it's just like...
Yeah, it's a...
You know.
Each to their own and all that stuff. I mean... Oh, yeah. Because the other side of that, the great thing about modern running, is people realising how fit they can be within their natural physiognomy. You know, that's not, you don't have to be someone else. This is quite a bad muddy patch, isn't
it? Yeah, there's a lot of...
You're doing better than me as well. He's gone, guys. He's way ahead of me. There we go. Some people... getting some serious cross-country action in at the weekend.
Yeah, good to see.
Rubbing
the mud off in a puddle.
Yeah,
that's British scene. Ray Clayton.
Ray or Pete. I don't think either of them fell down.
No.
I don't think I could do it. I can get through mud without falling down, but not whilst running.
Yeah.
I just have to stop and pick my way. That slippy, slidey thing.
And
it doesn't work for me.
Is it my imagination, or did Hutchinson get a 10-mile PB at the weekend?
He got a course PB. It was his second fastest 10-mile.
Yeah, and
but it was 14 minutes faster than the last time he did the Snake Lane.
Congratulations.
And so it was very good. It was a big win.
And a mate of Nicola Cartledge. Well, I think it's Stuart Plain. I think his name's Stuart.
Right.
He took 6 minutes off his 10-mile PB for 63 minutes, and I think it was 45.
I've got the PBs in my pocket.
Have you? All right, okay.
Kind of plot spoiling.
Sorry, mate.
I'll let you have it.
No, sorry. It was just... I don't even know what made me think of it.
Suddenly, the narrative's gone out the window.
Nicola's been telling us about her training. She's in a pretty good place, isn't
she? Yeah, that's
she?
Right. And again and again, you see... From all kinds of people,
they're ramping up the marathon
and people
training.
People target to, well, of course, as you do, as we are, you target towards one thing.
Yeah.
And if it works and you get fit, you start kind of hoovering around other things left, right, and centre. And also, that's another thing that was making me think about this, the needle of, the twitchy needle of spring. Which way is it going? Because Dave goes running.
Yeah.
My new friend who went and did Seville.
Yeah.
He was simultaneously pretty disappointed with how he ran it and didn't really enjoy it.
Right.
And got a PB.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
That's
it's
funny,
a difficult
isn't it?
One, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I've never been disappointed with a PB.
Helen Eastope was ran a long run. And she's like, I'm really fighting and it's really difficult. But on the other hand, I could have stopped and I didn't. I just carried on. And
well, that's a result.
Loads of water, wading through cold water.
Yeah.
And you're still talking about it as if it was some kind of failure. It's like...
No, it's not.
This is a win.
That's nothing but a win.
What you're doing there is life hands you lemons and you chew on those bad boys.
Yeah.
But I think also it's very... I feel like we're programmed stroke evolved to forget how hard marathons are.
Yes.
It always comes as a surprise, doesn't it?
They're really, really...
And you always look back, a bit. Say, I think that Dave walked a bit, despite going really fast, you know.
Right.
And what you do is you... As soon as you get to the end, you think, well, I could have just run that bit when I walked.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious, but it's not the case.
Yeah.
It was a big decision. But I get it. It's a funny old thing. Anyway, lots of exciting stuff.
It's funny because there's a younger comic who's just started running. And he's doing Paris Marathon.
Yeah.
And he's doing really well in his career, and he's really a good phase.
Yeah.
And he's really attacking his training. But he's not doing any long runs.
Right.
So every week it's like 15 kilometres again this week, 5 minutes faster than last week. And that's all. So he keeps running these fast 15 kilometres. And don't get me wrong, it's an achievement to run 15 kilometres fast. But marathons aren't about running 15 kilometres fast.
No,
marathons are about getting to 32 kilometres and you've got another 10 kilometres left.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just trying to say, well, I did. I said, this is great. You obviously can run really well. I know it's really boring advice, but you really want to go on some long, slow runs.
Yeah.
At some point.
Long, fast runs.
But he's locked
just long
in this.
They're long.
Yeah, just long runs. But he's locked into this...
Mindset.
Yeah, the mindset of fast. And everyone's like, that's great pace. And I'm like... You feel like a killjoy.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Because I've lived through this. I never used to do any slow runs. But I did do the long runs. And it's important, you know. And
Can we do my run across
it? Absolutely.
Right round it, yeah.
Into, if you want to see me go down.
Yeah.
Paul's pretending he's training for the MDS just to see Deering slide and fall. And generally... Get as muddy as that guy. Hello, mate.
Here we go.
Oh, he's going right.
I've always been an advocate, but with this recent bout of MDS training, I've even more so of long, slow, easy stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Stuff. Just makes me feel really good.
But then you're like saying, this guy's young. It is a maturity thing. And also, conversely, it's about what you can get away with, you know?
And he's new to running.
People younger than us run fast all the time.
Yeah.
And run out and do a marathon after not doing a long training run and then get an incredible marathon time.
Yes. Yeah,
it
yeah,
can
yeah.
Happen.
Although
it does happen.
Although it's more likely that he blows up at the, you know, 20 mile point
and never does it again.
At which point I will appear magically on his shoulder.
Told you so. What did I say?
Oh, great.
Well done. Congratulations on reaching halfway. You what, mate? It's 20 miles. Halfway, mate.
And then just disappear in a just whiff of smoke.
Just the perfect coach.
You regret that now, don't you?
Ghost of Tomkinson. Bullying young comedian in difficulties.
Most annoying coach in the world.
Appears to be pretending to clean his own house dressed as a woman.
When you mentioned Natalia Hoovering, I did think of Natalia. Because...
Give me the cords, Natalia.
She put in quite a shift on Wednesday morning before Rachel arrived back from holiday.
Yeah.
It's quite hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work cleaning a house.
Yeah. And then lying about it.
But she did. But she did. I tell you what, Rachel was quite impressed by Natalia's work. And the good thing about Natalia is that she can react to what Rachel wants in a very sort of micromanaged way.
Yeah,
it's almost
okay?
Like she's there.
When you say, ah, what happened there?
I'm going to, no, it's fine.
Good.
I'm going to try and keep the Natalia thing going as long as possible.
If you consider the possibility
it tickles
that
me.
Her, as someone who knows you quite well, knows exactly what you're doing and is simply letting it play, as long as the house is clean.
Yeah.
Allow.
Yeah. I mean, if it results in the house being clean and we save £200 a month, that's a win, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. But meanwhile, you're pretending you're Natalia and I'm sitting at last talking to myself in the mirror saying, well, this is better, isn't it, Rob? We're not doing that great.
It's one of those elaborate midlife jokes.
Well,
that's
it's Sunday. I can drink just all the booze that there is. And with no doubt, the great thing is there's no downside.
Natalia's here. Here she is.
That's the difference.
End up leaving the house. Yeah. Get really into the role.
Yeah,
becoming Natalia.
Like Tom
Cooper. I become Ukrainian.
You're half, you know, one side of you is you. So Natalia's done a great job today.
Thank you. I did the stairs. I don't know
Thank
if you saw.
I did exactly what Rachel wanted. How are you? This is bad.
This is bad. Yeah, this is bad.
This is a yellow downhill
this
mud
is
moment.
Bad. Yeah. This I'm is a real mud
go
fest.
On my ass. I don't know what the best way is. He's gone. He's long gone. Oh, my God. That wasn't the best way.
You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You got to go through it.
You're going on a mud hunt. You big mud hunt. Jesus. Yeah, and everywhere you look, you can see where people have previously slipped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
We've done well. We've done well.
I was just about to say I made it.
We got through.
Running and slipping.
We got through it.
We're not there yet. Oh. This is great. Great content, isn't it? Great sound, excitement. Oh, I've got to take a photo of that.
Yeah, that's...
Because we made it. You can't really see the
I'm amazed we got through that.
That was really something.
That's really tricky.
My feet are quite wet now.
Yeah. Ooh. So somebody sent me a link to the...
Mind you, Banner Bukenio Gulcha was like that for about 40% of the course.
Was it really?
And wow. I only fell over once.
Right.
So it can be done. Someone sent you a link?
Someone sent me a link to the Netflix documentary about the bloke who got lost during the Marathon de Sable.
Yeah.
This happened in 1994, this Italian bloke.
Did he read the list of things he needed or did he read blogs?
He turned up dressed as a Ukrainian cleaner. He just launched into Hello. It. He had some clean...
Natalia's here! It's very dusty!
I know what Rachel likes.
Paul sent
You're
me...
You're so sensitive to her needs.
But
she doesn't know about me.
But no, that was it. He did it in 1994.
Yeah.
And there was lots of sandstorms.
Yeah.
And he just got lost. He was lost for like 9 days. He ended up like... eating bats and stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was,
yeah. It's your bat out of hell again.
He was a little bit chastening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, he ended up in Algeria.
Yeah.
He got way off course. Yeah. So,
Are you the farmer? You've done the Marathon de Sable by mistake.
Yeah.
Are you the farmer? Stop saying that! Of course he's the farmer! How come you're in Cumbria?
Hello, mate.
Oh. So, coming through the heath.
Yeah, coming through the heath.
Yes, ready.
Pretty tired, but okay. I don't feel aerobically tired at all. It's funny the way fatigue accumulates, doesn't it? It's not that bad, actually. I feel okay. It's just sort of...
Yeah, and like you said, that's the magic of long, slow runs.
Yeah.
Because you really train your body up to just do it as if it's normal.
Well,
you're
that,
creating
that,
a new neutral.
Yeah.
Look at the sun in this pond. It's beautiful.
I
That's
am start-
the mixed swimming pond, right?
Starting to get into that mentality of sort of running as travelling sort of thing.
Yeah, just a
little bit. Which is why this kid... Here I am, travelling.
He's travelling. Running, travelling. Yeah, you know you're not allowed the mobility scooter on the ground.
Beep, beep,
beep, beep.
Which is why the kid who's running keeps doing this 15 kilometres fast thing... doesn't realise that that's what he's training to do.
Yeah, yeah.
He's training to run 9 miles fast.
Yeah.
He'll find out. He'll find out.
Well, yeah, that is true.
He'll find out.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Because
That kind of race-specific training thing, you know. It's sort of, everyone finds their own way with it, don't they?
Yeah, you've got to mix it up.
Yeah.
But also, ultimately, you have to... You know, we can all... If you run really fast, really well, for a really long way, to like say more than halfway, 20, 22 miles, and then you blow out.
Yeah.
Then you blew out.
Yeah.
It's very easy to tell yourself a story about the great marathon you nearly ran.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But
yeah.
It didn't happen.
No.
I know this. I'm speaking directly. I'm not... This is no criticism of anyone else. This is me.
Oh, yeah, we've all
done... This is me in Berlin.
We've all done those marathons.
It's a story for me to know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I have to see in Brighton. The thing is, with Brighton is, I know that it's quite tough.
Right.
And also, I've got a long ultra the other side of it, a long way the other side of it.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yeah.
And so, I'm very much addressing Brighton as...
Part of the build-up.
Exactly the opposite of what you're saying about this guy. I want to feel... strong, you know, like it's entirely within my power.
Yeah.
And get to the finish of it thinking, I could have done more.
That's right. Yeah, that would be great,
but
wouldn't it?
Equally, I know...
That a marathon's a marathon.
I'm not going to run it slow, slow, slow.
No.
I'll find some pace in there.
Yeah.
But I think...
An interim position.
For what it's worth psychologically, it's nice to have the idea of York off there in the distance behind it. You know, it's... Because that I want to do in less than 3.5 hours, which I quite specifically...
That's our fast marathon of the year.
Yeah, and that's what I failed to do. That's the issue I got to address after last year, you know.
Well, it's sort of... And the issue I'm going to have to address is that it was all gravy for me last year, the York Marathon.
Yeah.
Because my training was... I didn't train that much for it, but...
And because it's in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
But they let it run pretty deep.
It's delicious, what are you complaining about? Yorkshire pudding.
No, but it was in the shorts.
It was all me starting to get a bit fit again.
Yeah.
And then the new shoes and all that, beat 21 minutes for the part run.
Well, you found a new... you know, it's not the newness of it is part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
No, I was going to say you found a new naivety. It's not naivety because you know all
know
about it, but it's a freshness.
Yeah,
it was a sense of surprise.
It was like meeting an old friend, like running that York Marathon. I'd only run it once before, but you really remember it, don't you?
Yeah. I do find it easier to run marathons I've run before.
Yeah.
Even New York, which is really brutal. Still easier doing it again.
Yeah. It just makes it easier to chunk down, doesn't
it? That's right. It makes it seem more finite.
Yeah.
You've seen every bit of it. Sometimes through a veil of tears.
Yeah, but say this year, York's going to be a bit more intentional for me. So that just makes it a bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
This time last year, I wasn't thinking about doing another marathon at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking, I'd forgotten that when I went back to York after, at the end of 2019, not long after my dad died, and not long before the unpleasantness, although we didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
That was when I'd done a couple of tough, rough marathons with stopping after breaking my toe over a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, if you can't run a good marathon in York now, no more marathons for you.
Right.
And I basically called my own bluff. Went all the way around, got my best time in ages.
Nice,
okay.
I'm back.
But it's a constant negotiation, isn't it? Sort of slipping up and slipping down. And in a way, despite the fact that it can feel weird and obsessive to do loads of other things, it's the way to do it. It lessens the impact of each one. It connects to this thing about people hoovering up PBs on their way to the event.
Yeah.
It's like... Nicholas saying, it wasn't a goal race. You know, there's something excellently loose.
Yes,
I mean, it's fierce training. It's more kind of, all I'm doing is running. And some people can say you can get that from dog running and not worrying about it, not knowing how fast or how far you went or where you were going. But I think actually you're kind of accessing the same thing as that.
Yeah.
If you really plan and do all your training and do a bit of this and do a bit of that and still find the joy in it, then sooner or later there's too much going on. It's too dimensional for you to think about it too hard.
Yeah, I mean,
your body takes control.
And all the time, you're doing more running.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're just getting better at it.
Exactly.
Your body's working out how to run longer whilst using less energy. It's always on a level that you're not even cognitive of.
That's right.
Because it's a very intelligent organism.
I'm sure a good trainer can be completely in control of it, but yeah, like you were saying, with us, we basically self-train.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful kind of magic to the fact that running slow can make you good at running fast and
yes,
fast first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All we, the only way we know about it is from experience. You know, the idea of running 3 weeks of park runs with hills in them and then running a flat one, it seems pretty straightforward, but it's exciting to live through it.
Yes, yeah.
There's some people. It's down a on the track in the sunshine. That yeah, it's practicing. It's someone training. It's a youngster.
It's a fine line. Oh, they're doing a bit of some sprinting. Fantastic. Yeah. It's a fine line.
If I shout bang,
yeah.
Go on the beer, the bang. The bomb goes up. Well, yeah, they're practicing the start. They could be there for a while. Practicing what to do, getting the position right. It's exciting, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Can't take a photo, it'd be rude. There he goes. Pyoing! Very good.
He's off, he's doing it.
Very nice, and then stopped. I thought I was going to see the whole thing, but it's just practicing the start.
Yeah, I think...
Damn it.
Yeah.
Hey, nice. That dog was scared of a glove in its mouth. I thought it had massive black teeth.
I'm very neat, comedy tooth. It's a... It's a fine line just avoiding injury, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When you're I'm aware of that with this. Again, while I go into soft surfaces.
That was excellent, wasn't it? Paul said that, and we're running along the tarmacy bit across the bottom Parliament Hill, and he just said, it's a fine line avoiding injury, and just ran so freely and happily into a morass.
because the thing is, it's just like, that's the line I'm on with this marathon of the sample, because obviously I'm running more miles than I've done for a while.
Yeah.
And every week I'm running further than I did the previous week.
Yeah.
And so
and
we talk about...
And have you felt anything? Have you felt any discomfort, any niggles or anything?
No,
like
no,
that?
I mean, I had the chest thing, but that seems to have worn off.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that might have been just some sort of muscular thing, sort of driving related or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had the open heart surgery.
Yeah.
On Sunday morning that I didn't tell you about.
It's not that hard.
No.
Open your heart, I'll make you love me. It's not that hard if you just hold the... If you're listening and you've had my open heart surgery, I'd like to apologise for the lightness with which we've treated
girls
the subject.
Those we very strange.
We are.
Yeah. Yep, so I've sort of stumbled on this running 4 day a week sort of thing,
yeah,
long distances. Well, it's, we'll see whether it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Might work, might not.
Yeah. We're just coming to the bottom of Hampstead Heath. Gotta tell you, I realise, talking of training and commitment and everything, I don't necessarily need to run with you all the way back to your house.
No, you don't, no. You could easily get the tube.
We talked all about Kelvin Kiptum last week.
Yes.
Terrible thing.
Yeah.
And someone was saying, you know, 24,
yeah,
two
awful,
kids.
Awful, yeah.
But it was within hours of that. The news about Steve Wright.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know Steve Wright? Have you ever met him?
No, I didn't, but I was a massive fan of his,
I must say.
He was fantastic
at what
he did. He was brilliant, yeah. I mean, the great thing about old Wrighty, well, he felt a bit old-fashioned, didn't it? But that idea of just turning up every day to make people's lives better.
Yeah, and something...
No opinion to it, no side to it.
Just pure entertainment.
Just pure, really well-produced
But he
joy.
Also had that thing, the same as what we were just saying about Nicola and other people training for the running, where you do all the training and all the work, and then you find the joy in the running. And this is true of any good art, like jazz. You know, to play really good, really free jazz, first of all, you've got to know everything. You've got to go and know music. Stanislavski said, learn all the lines, and do all the stuff, do all the prep, and then forget about it, and just let the acting fall off you.
And
Steve Wright had that. He did all the prep. He knew everything.
Yes.
He knew his subjects inside and out. It was all over music, all over his guests.
Yeah.
And then he would just have fun with it.
No, the guy was absolutely...
He was
level.
Also cooking. I was loving him on Pick of the Pops. I took it so...
I never listened to that. That was a Sunday show, was it?
It's the classic that's been running for decades. And
right.
It was a Paul Gambaccini until not very long ago.
Right.
But I've been listening to it with the last few weekends with the car hires and stuff. Mm. You know, Pick of the Pops is basically a look back. There's two,
right.
It's 2 hours. Each hour is a year in the past.
Yeah.
And it's selections from the top 20.
Nice.
And to hear Steve Wright doing it, just the combination. I mean, it just appealed to me so much. He'd do information, silly jokes and wit and wisdom, you know?
Yes.
Like one of the things he did that I absolutely loved is he would so gently sometimes rib the records.
Yeah.
You know, he played a record earlier this year, and it wasn't. It's a classic thing when you look back like that. There's really famous stars have like forgotten singles that weren't that great. You know, they did really well.
Yeah.
And he said there was Donna Summer with you know one of her lesser records. And he said, "Would I give it? Would I, if I was giving it a score out of 10? Would I give it 10? Probably not." And the other day he played one that was a band called Upside Down, never broke through.
Yeah.
And they made a record which was like offensively similar, like totally ripped off from Careless Whisper.
Right.
And fantastically, egotistically thought, well, that made a lot of money. We could do that.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a rubbish Careless Whisper. All the sounds of Careless Whisper with none of the notes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end, it's again Steve Wright saying, I think they might have been listening to Careless Whisper before they did that one. And making it sound like he was mean, but it's just the tip of the iceberg because he just had it all going on. And right now, like that's we're talking a radio show I listened to about a fortnight ago. Mm. So between those two last week, it was a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really sad. Yeah, it was
really
sort of
bad news.
And he sort of, but he's a guy as well, like you talk about the technique, he really worked on his voice, you know, this thing of like the radio voice, the musicality of his voice
and all that.
I mean, the guy was a He was a legend, wasn't
and
he?
And probably
he really
pioneered
was, yeah.
a way of doing it.
Yeah, the zoo radio
country,
business. Yeah, he was a next level business. It's hilarious when people are snobby about people like Steve Wright. It's just don't know what they're on about.
No, but sometimes people don't get about presenting being a real skill because they'll give the job to anyone, and that works the other way. Sometimes they'll find someone who's just famous, and then you get them presenting, and you think, oh wow, it comes really naturally to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they don't really know what they've got.
But he was, Yeah,
and the other thing which happened this week, we have to talk about next week now because we're gonna. But is the Bloom BAFTAs? It was great.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yes.
Michael J. Fox was in the country.
Yeah.
Samantha Morton's speech.
Yes, Samantha Morton doing a speech. My old neighbour used to know her, Samantha Morton.
Oh yeah, gosh, she's great.
Good mates, me and Sammy go way back.
Well, before we get to these PBs,
yeah.
Couple of things here. Lisa Harriet said the other day that you and I are great examples of modern masculinity.
I saw that. That's a very kind thing to say, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, but,
we'll take
but
it.
Very well observed.
Yeah, we'll take it. it's nice to
this is only want to talk about. This is a couple of less. Scott Curran had a bad experience. It's a very jolly message he sent. It's talking about safety issues on country roads.
Yeah.
And let us know if you've had an experience like this. We, anecdotally, it seems a little bit easier sometimes to run in the city than in the countries. Scott's in South Oxfordshire, where I grew up.
Right.
And he was running in January in like a 20-mile-hour zone with no pavements.
Right.
And a van came flying past and he had to throw himself into the verge.
Ooh.
He told the police and they said, next time you do it, take a photo. So the next time it happened, there was a next time, happened really quick, he took a photo, the person in the van pulled up and hit him, he got assaulted. And now he doesn't want to run outside. Fair enough.
Sorry for you,
Scott, but it's so annoying.
He's sort of... Yeah,
and he's been running for 40 years. Awful. He said, "Everyone, take care and stay safe." It's a really tough one.
But this, yeah, that's terrible. This sort of battle between, you know, motors and cyclists and pedestrians and motorists feeling that everyone's out to get them. Yeah. Meanwhile, someone's got to dive into a verge. I mean, come on, mate.
People taking ownership.
It's a little bit bad advice. It's almost for the cops to say, take a photo as well.
Yeah,
really.
It's easy for them to say.
It's easy to say that, yeah. But that's outrageous.
So we feel you, Scott. I hope you're finding a way.
And we hope you can find a way to get out on the roads again.
Yeah, that's right. And any other stories, even if it's just a bit of kinship. But that was tough. And while we're talking about sad stories, we got a really nice message. You don't need to go too deeply into it. But condolences to Colin Wallace, who was sharing the fact that he'd been listening to us after his dad died. So that's...
Yeah, no, that was nice. It's nice to get a couple of messages this week about the emotional impacts of the podcast.
It's something we don't really think about that much, but it's
very much appreciated. Certainly.
It's the difference between it being worthwhile and not, isn't it? I mean, we're silly and everything, but if this is just us sliding around and going into the wilderness, then what's the point
there's
of that?
There's a bit of both. We like a bit of
but
light
if you feel like we're with you and we're really making a connection, then that makes this thing worthwhile. Simon Bates, that's the thing, right? And listen, it feels like almost crass to say this, but you should subscribe. subscribe.
Yeah.
Because then you're more in touch with us. It's weekly. Yeah. There's loads of interview ones and specials and things.
If you want to
I think sometimes people think that if they subscribe on Acast Plus, they've got to listen to Acast Plus. But it runs, the subscription runs through most other popular podcast platforms. Can't listen for you now. I haven't got them.
And if people subscribe, we promise to do even more sadder stuff, if that's what people want.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to get much, much more serious all the time. That's what, give the people what they want. Talking to giving the people what they want, Steve, play the PB's thing. Okay, here's Pete again.
Pete Winder.
Yeah, is that what you said last time? Because you got it right last time.
Yeah, Pete Winder.
Say Winder or Winder?
Winder.
Winder.
Wind the bobbin up. Easing world, part run, stiff little fingers, and a tenacious competitor.
Yeah, stiff little fingers, playing a bit of strong punk to get a strong finish.
That is good.
Battling someone.
Second place, 19 minutes and 15 seconds.
I think beating a park run set only earlier this year. Ooh, and his daughter Poppy got a park run PB the other day.
Plus daughter Poppy got the week before got a park run.
Poppy and Pete,
well done.
Boom, boom. Here begins the 10-milers.
A lot of 10-milers. Barry Woods, the Wiltshire 10-miler. This is a nice number, isn't it? 1 hour, 11 minutes, 11 seconds. Perfect. 71 minutes and 11 seconds. Well done.
Don't say it like that. You need the ones.
Yeah.
Put a 7 in there, Paul. You're ruining it. 71,
yeah.
So, Barry, don't ever change. Keep that one.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's perfect.
Stuart
and Abby Strath.
It's interesting. They ran a 12.5K.
Kirk Kinsellock. 12.5K, yeah, interesting.
That's a good distance. Interesting. You've got 12.5, then 25 and 50 and 100.
It is a nice little distance.
And also, of course, depending on your pace, but they're both dancing around the 1 hour mark, so that's very satisfying as well.
Yeah.
She was fifth in the whole race, first.
FU, is that necessary? Is that really necessary?
No, you've misread that.
Really? I thought we were getting on wide.
Female under 20.
FU, really? Is that what you think of us?
Yeah,
you as well.
Anyway, Abby got 59.41. Yeah. It's always nice to go 19 seconds over your target hour, isn't it?
And was she fifth in the race?
Yes.
Well done. Fantastic. Yeah. Well done, Abby.
Incredible. Stuart came in a minute behind, 1 hour and 52
seconds. 52 seconds. A 2 minute 8 second PB after 10 years.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations.
So we were talking about that at Wanstead, that Abby has just this last couple of weeks started overtaking Stuart. And of course, it feels like a great dad moment. We feel that.
It is a great dad.
We've had that. It's been getting older, but it's great.
We've had that. There's things you can do, mate. You can start waiting on trainers. You can sort of feed us. I'll be in touch.
If anything, you've gone
just slow it down. Pete again. That's a weird name.
Winder.
Pete Winder.
Winder.
Pete Winder. We Snake right Lane, 10-miler. This is the guy. 63 minutes and 43 seconds. A 6 minute PB. That's fantastic.
That's a great run, Pete.
That's a really good run. Well done, mate.
Running like the Winder. Winder.
Yeah. Good preparation for Borough Half in 2 weeks. That is good preparation.
Yeah, good luck.
That's
enjoy really that half, of course. Let us know what happens there.
Yeah, well done, mate. That's brilliant.
And Martin also, as we were saying earlier on, he ran the Snake Lane. He got a course PB and beat his second fast. It was his second fastest 10-mile ever, but 14 minutes faster than last time he ran Snake Lane. So
yes,
it was very strong.
69 minutes and 23 seconds.
Well done, mate.
Matt Larkin's wife.
Yeah, we don't know what her name is. Right. We don't know what time she got. We don't know what event she did.
Right, okay.
She got a half marathon PB of 10 minutes.
Well,
and
that's good.
And a husband who is easy on the facts.
Yeah. Casual Matt Larkin.
But congratulations.
The wife. No name.
And brilliant Citizen Gav. Another name that's coming up over and over again in the PBs, because second part-time PB in a couple of weeks, I think. Also, originally working on best since surgery. Colon still rolling. Getting his best ever park runs.
Well run.
This weekend, broke 24 minutes.
23 minutes and 57 seconds in Glasgow. Well done, Gav.
Congratulations, everyone. Thanks for, as we say, all sharing your lives with us and telling us what our podcast means to you. It's special for us.
It's lovely, yeah.
It's the kind of thing that makes you think, I don't need to run with Paul. I can just go home and think about you guys.
You suddenly realised. You thought, I think I'm running.
I don't need to do this. What am I doing?
You're going back on the train now.
Yeah, I'm going to go. It's just down a hill.
I've been running. I set off at 8:15 for the run. So this might. Obviously, we've had breaks. It's now 12:15.
Yeah, it's 12:15.
Yeah,
you should run a bit more. How far had you gone before we started running?
8 miles.
Yeah, so we've run 6.2 since then.
Yeah, so it'll be about 10 by the time we get home. Yeah. So that I've done it.
Do you mean 20? I think 20.
Do you think so? What all total? I think it'll be about.
You've done 14. Yeah, you might. It might be. Yeah,
it'll be about 18 and a half miles by the time I get home.
Yeah, I tell you what, it'll be more than me.
Yeah, but that's fair. That's fair. But at the moment, I'm training to run further than you.
Yeah. I was also.
What with the old desert.
This is
desert
all kind
and
of come about by accident, but I think I'm going to go out and try and do 18 on Wednesday. So same old. It's all good. What a pleasure. More interviews coming in. You're interviewing someone this week.
I'm interviewing someone this week.
Great, that's exciting.
Yeah, yes.
And
entering the interview stakes. Yeah.
And also, if you need any cleaning around North London,
Natalia is available. Reasonable
terrifying rates. Semi-costume situation, but so good at stairs.
What is that? Natalia's here.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to us on Acast Plus now for ad-free listening and more.
Happy running. Love you.
Kiss.